Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
You know, if you're struggling for a healing, there's probably all kinds of things that you've thought about or all kinds of crazy things that people have told you about why you're not getting healed. And usually when people start telling you about why you're not getting healed, it's some list of right and wrong and rules and regulations and all that kind of stuff. The amazing thing is the Bible clearly tells us what's going on when we're not able to get healed. And it's not just that you don't have enough faith, and that's usually the standard answer, or that you're committed some kind of sin. That's usually another standard answer. But that is not what the Bible says. I want you to join me today, and I tell you, everybody that you know that's sick and struggling with the need for healing, I want you to send them an email, copy them on this message. Make sure this gets out to everybody, because the Bible's very clear about the fact that we need to discern the Lord's body. And I want to tell you what that means. If you want to get this message in its entirety, go to www.impactministries.com. Man, I'm telling you, when you're struggling and you need to get healed, you can't mess around. You can't play around. You got to get down to business, because your life is on the line. And this incredibly powerful 8-CD series called Qualified for Healing is going to be the most powerful thing you've ever heard about healing. And it's not going to be a bunch of hokey stuff that you've heard 1,000 times before. This is going to be what the Bible says about how to walk in your divine right to be well, to be whole, and to be healed. Man, I don't know about you, but I've gone through times in my life where I was struggling to experience a healing, knowing all the time that healing was mine. And that's the crazy thing. You see, just because something has been given to you, that does not mean you are experiencing it. It does not mean it's alive in your heart. And I tell you, you can get so condemned, you can put yourself down, and before long, you start looking in all the wrong places to try to connect with the life of God that's already inside you. And that's one of the things you got to realize. This life of God, if you're born again, the Spirit of God is inside you. That means everything you need for life, godliness. That means health and healing and for victory over physical, emotional, all kinds of issues is already inside you. And you just got to connect to that life and experience it in this life. Now, you know, the crazy thing is, when you're struggling to experience something and you're going through, I'm telling you what, the legalists are going to come out of the woodworks and they're going to start telling you everything that's wrong with you. They're going to start telling you all the reason that's God not healing you. It's going to be like Job's comforters, man. They're going to come around and they're going to point out your every fault. They're going to tell you everything's wrong with you. And when they get through, you're going to be worse than you were before. You're going to be living under what the Bible calls condemnation. Because, you know, if you focus in on your faults, all you get is condemnation. You start expecting and feeling like you deserve to be punished. You deserve to go through what you're going through. And we talked about this in last week's program. Listen, if you haven't listened to last week's program, go back and listen to it before you even jump into this one. Because until you have understood and accepted the reason that you're qualified for healing, honestly, you have nowhere to go from there except into some kind of religious mysticism that's really not going to get you healed. You know, I remember one time when I was first hospitalized with this kidney disease, and my kidneys had stopped working or had reduced working. I was in the hospital, and they had just done this brutal procedure. I mean, it was a brutal procedure where they had to go in while I was awake and tap into this cyst that was on my kidneys because it was about to rupture. And they had to have me awake so they could control my breathing so that they wouldn't puncture my lung. Now, basically, that's like laying down on a table and having someone just take a sharp knife and stab you, or actually a dull knife, and stab you slowly because they're sticking a tube in you about the size of your finger. Man, I mean, it was brutal, and it was painful. and all you got for that was a topical, you know, a topical pain relief. So, man, they bring me back to my room, and they've got this tube sticking out my back here, and I've just gone through this brutal thing. I'll never forget. Some religious flake walks in. He says, "Hey, Brother Jim, how you doing?" And before I could even respond, he says, "Well, I know you're healed because by his stripes you're healed. And if you say you're not healed, then you're a liar, and all liars are going to have their part in a lake of fire and brimstone." Well, God bless you. I just want to come by and encourage you. I'm telling you, if I could have gotten up out of that bed, I would have jumped up on that guy and beat his head in. You know, that's the kind of religious junk that you get whenever you're trying to walk something out. And self-righteous people, or people who have never gone through anything, people who have never had to walk out anything, man, they think they got all the answers. You know, it's interesting to me. You know, most people who have a physiological tendency to being well, they think they know all about healing. And I got news for you. Most of them think that they're well just because they've got more faith than everybody else, when the real truth is they just happen to be some of the fortunate people that were born physiologically strong. But they've always got a word for you, and they always want to straighten you out. And they're going to tell you you don't have enough faith. They're going to tell you you've got secret sin. They're going to tell you some kind of something about why you're not getting healed. But you know what? The Bible tells us what's going on. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:29, when it's talking to us about taking communion, it says, "He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Now, let me tell you something. In this incredible series called Qualified for Healing, we have in here a CD of communion that focuses on physical and emotional healing. And I'll tell you, in all of our communion services, all the years that I've been pastoring, I've never seen anybody do communion like we do it. And we take it right out of the Bible, and it's not a bunch of goofy stuff. Because you see, to be worthy to partake of the cup and of the bread isn't about looking at yourself and trying to find out if everything's right in your life. It's about whether or not you are doing so discerning the Lord's body when you partake of it. And he explains in here that it's this failure to discern the Lord's body that causes people to be weak, to be sick, and to die. You see, our tendency is to we're always looking to see, do I have enough faith? We're always trying to figure out something about us. Do I qualify based on my works? Have I prayed enough lately? Have I done anything wrong lately? And you know what? Those are all issues that if there's a problem, solve it so that you don't have guilt and condemnation. But that has nothing to do with what is yours in Jesus. We have to look to the death, burial, and the resurrection if we're going to discern the Lord's body. We have to look at what happened when Jesus hung on that cross. Now, we know that when he hung on the cross that he became our sin, but he also became our sickness. You know, Isaiah 53, verse 3 says this. It says, he is despised, and he's rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Now, what's interesting is that word grief is the word sickness or infirmity. If you look it up in any good Hebrew concordance, you'll find that that's what it is. Now, when do we have any record of Jesus ever being sick in his entire life? Well, we don't. But what we do have record of is the fact that on the cross, he carried the curse of the law, therefore he carried your sicknesses. It says, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him, and surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, what's interesting, that word griefs and sorrows, one of those tends to point more to the emotional pain and struggles in our life, and one of them tends to point more toward the physical pain and struggles in our life. And I'll tell you why. Because usually the sicknesses that come upon us, almost always, unless you have a physical trauma, you get hit by a car, You get run over. Unless you're born with a genetic problem, the diseases that we catch, we don't get them from the outside. You know something that they understand in medical science now? And I'll tell you, there's going to probably even be doctors out there that are going to say, this is just not true. But I'm telling you, it's cutting-edge research, and unfortunately, most people are behind the times. In your body, bacteria can morph into cancer cells. It can morph into destructive or healthy cells for you based on the environment in your body. And that environment in your body, it's not just based on what you eat and drink, even though that is a big, big factor. It's also based primarily on your emotions, because your emotions control how your body processes everything. Your emotions control what's going on in the genes in your body. You know, it's not even your DNA. You know, we know now, you know, for years they tried to say that everything was all about our DNA, and that it's in your DNA, and you're going to be programmed for cancer, or you're going to be programmed for this, or you're going to be programmed for that. We know now that really is totally impossible, because they've made breakthroughs. They had this great genome project that was supposed to unlock all the mysteries of health and healing, and like so many other things that the medical community has promised us, it just wasn't what they expected it to be. Now, I'm not kicking the medical community. I thank God for the medical community. They will keep you alive when you're in an emergency. They'll keep you alive until you get your faith working. But we now know that even our DNA is programmed from something outside of itself, and we know that what that something is the beliefs of our heart. And our physical environment is what determines what happens. And so Jesus, in order to set us free from physical sickness, he had to set us free from the guilt and the shame and the feelings of unworthiness. He had to bring us his peace and life so that we could be delivered from the physical trauma, or not trauma, but from the physical environment that would allow disease to manifest in our life. And so it says, we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God, and he was smitten of God. And that's the key thing you want to realize. Listen to this. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, I got to tell you, when I first got saved and first got around people that believed in the healing, I heard some of the craziest stuff that you can ever imagine. And you know, we were all taught that by the stripes that the Roman soldiers put on Jesus' back, that somehow or another had something to do with our healing. As a matter of fact, I remember I think it was a book. It's called 39 Stripes for 39 Diseases. And somebody tried to say that these 39 stripes represent 39 core causes of disease. Listen, those stripes that the Roman soldiers put on Jesus' back had nothing to do with your healing. That's just a bunch of mystical nonsense. Because, I mean, how could it? Just stop and think about it. How could it? The Bible says that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And later in the same chapter of Isaiah, it says, when it says he was bruised for our iniquity, it says by his stripes we're healed. That word for stripes is the word bruising. Whether you look at it in the Old Testament Hebrew or whether you look at it in the New Testament Greek, when it repeats this verse, it's the word bruising. And here in Isaiah, it goes on to tell you that it was God that bruised him with our infirmity. Listen, those stripes had nothing to do with us getting healed, but I'll tell you what did have everything to do with us getting healed, the fact that he became our sin. He became the cause, the reason that the curse of the law could come on us. He took our sorrow. And you see, there are sicknesses, like I said, that come on us just because of our emotions, just because of the way we manage our emotions, what we believe about ourselves. Jesus became every aspect of the curse, every aspect of the old man, every aspect of anything that could cause our life to be less than abundant. You know, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that he came that we might have life, have it more abundantly. One translation says that we might have life and have it to the fullest. So all of this happened when Jesus was on the cross, and basically he died from our sins, from our sicknesses, from our diseases. And you've got to get in touch with this. This has got to be the focal point, not just for your healing, but I want to tell you something. This has got to be the focal point for your whole life. What did Jesus do through his death, burial, and resurrection? And until that becomes the focus of your faith is just in the wrong place. You know, I thank God for the life of Jesus. And, you know, we look at the life of Jesus, how he emptied himself as a man, and as a man yielded to the Holy Spirit, the grace of God worked in his life, and he overcame sin, and the Holy Spirit worked through him, and he worked miracles, and he healed the sick, and he raised the dead. And basically, he showed us what our lives could look like now that we're born again, because, see, we don't have a sin nature anymore. He showed us what our lives could look like if we believe the truth now that we're born again. We believe the truth. If we believe who we really are to God, we really believe who we are in relationship to God. But none of that has anything to do with what we have in our salvation. And remember, the word saved means to be forgiven, it means to be healed, it means to be delivered, it means to be blessed, prospered, protected, made whole, set apart, sanctified. In other words, any aspect of what we have in relationship to God, in relationship to this covenant, we have it only because of what Jesus has already done. And so he's got to be the focal point of our faith. So Jesus dies because he became our sin, and he was bruised with the sicknesses and all the curse of the law. The Bible says all of his joints literally went out of place. You know, I think it was the late Charles Capps who said that one of the reasons that darkness went across the face of the earth was probably because it was worse than any man could look upon to see what all happened to him. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know what? That's easy. That's easy to accept. And then hanging on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, he said that because he was forsaken of God, because if not, we would have to be forsaken of God. In other words, anything that he didn't take care of, we would have to face. Everything that he did take care of is ours because we are in him. And see, the Bible says that whenever we get born again, we are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. So, in an eternal sense, that means that we were in him when he died. We were in him when he was smitten with the curse of the law. And he dies and he goes to Hades, the abode of the wicked. Why did he go there? Because that's where we would have went if he hadn't resolved this for us. Now, keep in mind, our sins, our sickness, the curse that would be on us, all of that held him in the grave. And in order for him to be raised from the dead, he had to use his faith to conquer every bit of that. And he did. And that's the phenomenal thing. Jesus conquered death, hell, the grave, the curse of the law, sin, sickness, disease. He conquered all of that by his own faith, because he trusted God. And the Bible says God raised him up by his glory. So when Jesus came up out of that grave, we were in him. And if we were in him, that means that when he conquered our sicknesses and disease, we conquered our sickness and disease. Now, our problem is we try to have faith in our faith. Now, you know, one of the ministers that I respect so very, very much years ago had a book called Faith in Your Faith. And I understand what he was saying, so I'm not at all criticizing or attacking somebody here. But I can tell you this, my faith is in the faith of Jesus. My faith is in what he accomplished. I'm not trying to walk around and figure out if I have enough faith to conquer sickness and disease. I'm not trying to determine whether or not I got enough faith to take hold of the promises of God. All I've got to believe is that Jesus had enough faith to take hold of the promises of God. And if I have faith in him, then that's what it means to believe in him, through him, with him, by him. In other words, every bit of my faith is all about this finished work of Jesus. So when we face sickness and we don't get an instantaneous healing, which some people do, and praise God for all the instantaneous. I've seen some phenomenal instantaneous healings. But you know something? most people have to walk it out because most people are struggling in their own heart. And, you know, you'll see people get hands laid on them in a meeting, and they'll get better for a day, for a week, for a month, and suddenly they're back again. They're thinking, oh, no, I didn't ever, it wasn't real. I didn't get a genuine healing. No, the problem is you're not discerning the Lord's body in your own, on your own heart. You're not looking at Jesus and saying, because of what he went through in his body, I don't have to go through it in my body. You know, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 is one of these scriptures that people just take out of context and just come up with crazy devil-fighting doctrines. But it says this, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, we are human beings living in a flesh body. But see, we're not in the flesh in the sense that we rely on our natural strength to win the battles. We don't rely on our natural strength to win at life's issues. It says, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal or flesh. That word carnal is just flesh. But they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, immediately right there, people jump to strongholds being these places in the heavenlies, you know, where devils have majestic power and are ruling over cities and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you took this into context, you'd know what strongholds he's talking about. He says, casting down imaginations, or one translation says arguments. Now, you see, the strongholds that are affecting us are the imaginations or the intellectual arguments that we have. And these intellectual arguments, it goes on to explain, casting out imaginations or arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, what is your knowledge of God? And that word knowledge is really the experiential knowledge. It's not just the intellectual knowledge. Let me tell you something. If all you have is intellectual knowledge and you're hurting and you're in pain and you're suffering, I got news for you. You're going to give up intellectual knowledge for that physical experience in a heartbeat. I mean, in a heartbeat, you're going to surrender to and succumb to these physical and emotional feelings that you have if all you have with God is intellectual knowledge. But if you're experiencing God, that's a whole different thing. So he goes on and says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, right there is the key of what I'm talking about. You see, when you are facing sickness and disease, or anything, it doesn't matter what you're facing. If it's something that Jesus died to deliver you from, if it's something that he obtained or he raised from the dead and conquered, if it's a promise that he obtained in the inheritance, because remember, all the promises that God ever made to anyone, they are yes for you. If it is anywhere in that area, then you realize it is something that was obtained by the obedience, the faith, and the obedience of Jesus. So the question is, are you discerning your obedience? Are you looking at your obedience, or are you looking at his obedience? Are you looking at what you're qualified for based on what you feel like you have earned? And I got news for you. There's millions of Christians around the world that feel like they've got to earn their healing. They feel like they've got to, they feel like they got to pray enough. They feel like they got to give enough. They feel like they got to fast enough. They got to read enough of the Bible. They got to obey enough of the rules. And you know something? I've done crusades all over the world. I've seen people that had the fresh blood of sacrificing chickens to the devil get healed instantly when Christians couldn't get healed because Christians were looking at their behavior. They weren't discerning the body of Christ. They weren't looking at Jesus and saying, this is all because of you. This is all because of what I have in you. That's got to be the focus of our faith. That's got to be the focus of our attention. Paul made it clear. He said, listen, the reason there's sickness and weakness and people are dying among you is this failure to discern the Lord's body. And the whole purpose of taking communion is to go back and reconnect in your heart to the blood and the body of Christ and what you have because of it. And if you're not doing that, you're just going through a dead religious ceremony. Listen, stick around, come back. I want to share with you in a mentoring moment how you can start taking steps to move your heart in this direction. I want to see you at World Changer Weekend. You say, well, what's a world changer? A world changer is somebody who has had their life so impacted by this message that they're going to make sure that everybody else in the world has the opportunity to hear this. July the 18th through the 20th, it's a great time. And we do this every year for our world changers. There's no registration fee. You do have to register, so we'll make sure we have enough space. Listen, if your life has been transformed by the message of grace, the gospel of peace, the unconditional love of God, faith, righteousness, or these other powerful messages that you're hearing, help me multiply this to the ends of the earth. Become a world changer. And I'll tell you something, we're going to do everything we can to invest in your life as you're doing everything you can to invest in the lives of people around the world. And when we get together, we're going to celebrate in July. We're going to have a great time of worship. Jimmy Bratcher is going to be here with me, helping me with the worship. It's going to be a time you'll never forget. Qualified for Healing is going to be one of the most powerful investments that you ever made in your life. Listen, God wants you well. God wants you whole. And you're going to learn how to persuade your heart. That's the key to new covenant believers walking in God's health. Persuading their heart about who they are and what they really have in Jesus. You've got enough faith. You've got everything that you need. You just got to focus your faith on who you are and what you really have in Jesus. You know, I know you're beginning to see now that maybe you've been focusing your attention in the wrong place. Maybe condemnation, maybe guilt, maybe something that you've done. And the Bible tells us that if our heart condemns us, we can't get our prayers answered. It's not because God's not willing to answer them. It's because we can't receive it. We can't take hold of it. We can't believe for it. Because when your heart condemns you, you have this expectation that things are going to go wrong. You have this expectation that God is going to say no. Listen, if you're in Jesus, God can't say no, because all the promises of God are yes and amen if you are in Him. And so this is where you've got to take your eyes completely off of yourself. This is where you've got to do whatever you have to do. And for me, what I have to do is meditation. This is where I sit and I think about, I consider, I ponder, I imagine, I meditate on what Jesus did at the cross. I see and experience my sicknesses and diseases going into Him. I see and experience myself dying with Him. And I see myself being raised from the dead. And here's an interesting factor, and this is really important. Whenever you begin to confess or acknowledge Scripture, it's very important that all of these Scriptures about what Jesus did, that you speak those directly to the Father. You know, there's a part of your brain that when you're speaking to the Father activates that doesn't activate when you're just saying something. When you're just quoting Scriptures from memorization, it really doesn't work. It doesn't do anything. It actually causes stress in your Bible, in your body. So whenever you're acknowledging what God has done for you through the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, you want to put your attention on God personally. And whenever you put your attention on God personally, and you're speaking these things out loud, I want you to know that's going to override all the other functions of your brain, and it's going to influence your heart, and it's going to persuade your heart until you come to the place where you're absolutely immovable. But whatever you do, you've got to get your attention off of yourself. And listen, if you committed sins, the Bible says get forgiveness for them. Whatever you got to do, but get out from under guilt, get out from under condemnation, so you can put all your attention on Him.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.